Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of June, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kirk Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack is deploying USDA's many resources to help mitigate the effects of climate change on crop production, and China is opening its futures trade to the world. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour. And don't forget, as we close out our time together, just about 26 minutes away, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast right here on the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
Let's check the numbers in Chicago as they finished up on a Monday afternoon. A lot of red on the board. The nearby contract for the July soft red winter wheat at $6.89¾, the settlement price there down 6.5 cents today. September at $6.99, down 5¾. The hard red in Kansas City at $7.26, 9 cents lower. Back in Chicago from the corn pit on the afternoon, we see the nearby contract for the July at $6.50. That's down 16¼. September futures at $5.77. At a quarter, down 14¼, and December futures at $5.46 a bushel. The December or the harvest month corn finished down 12.5 cents on the afternoon. The March contract at $5.56½, 12¼ lower, and the May futures down 12¼ as well at $5.63¾. July soybeans on the day, $15.11¾, down 16.5 cents. August at $14.35¾, 20½ lower. September beans at $13.56½, down 17½ for the afternoon. And November soybeans at $13.19, down 11¼. January futures 9½ lower at $13.25½ for the day. And then we turn to the bean meal. $4.48.30, down $4.20. Bean oil at $48.07, down 46. Live cattle futures finished the August at $118.42½, 80 cents lower. September at $145.55 in the feeders, down 25 cents. And July lean hogs at $97.90, up $1.70. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, July contract, $95.85 a barrel, down 18 cents. RBOB gasoline or wholesale price at $2.84.09. That's 2 1/10 of a cent lower. Ethanol trading at $2.48, 2 6/10 lower. And the RBOB to ethanol spread at 36 9/10 of a cent now. Natural gas at $3.80 4/10 of a cent, down 2 4/10 of a cent. And the New York Harbor ultra low sulfur diesel or heating oil, diesel fuel, $2.88 1/2. That's 8/10 of a cent lower. Gold futures at $1,386.30 an ounce, up $3.20, and the U.S. dollar trading at 81.65. That's down 0.02 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. As it comes from the National Weather Service, isolated showers, mostly cloudy skies, a high this afternoon of 78 degrees on a west wind at about 9 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation this afternoon, just 20%. And then for this evening, isolated showers before 7, patchy fog after 1 a.m., Central Times both, of course. Otherwise, partly cloudy, a low of 61, a west wind at 3 to 8, chance of precipitation just 10% this evening. Tonight and then tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, that is. For Tuesday, a high of 87 on a southwest wind at 5 to 9. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy and 70 degrees, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms on Wednesday. Otherwise, partly sunny, a high of 92, should be warm and hot, actually. Southwest winds at 8 to 17, gusting to 23. Showers and thunderstorms into Wednesday night, mostly cloudy and 66. Thursday, sunny and 79. And on Thursday night, mostly clear and 59. Friday, we should see mostly sunny skies, a high near 80. Partly cloudy on Friday evening and a low of 62. More on the weather forecast from the folks at Chesapeake Energy when we get to the bottom of the half hour here on Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of June. On the phone line with us this afternoon from Bates Commodities, out of Normal, Illinois, is Pete Manhart. Thanks for filling in for Kurt Kimmel today, Pete. We do appreciate that. Oh, I think Pete should be there. Well, he'll show up in just a bit. We'll talk a bit more with him in a moment or two. Maybe he's over here on this line. I don't think so. Pete, are you with me? We'll see him in just a bit. Pete Manhart, of course, is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In the mean space, he's probably just on, has me on hold, so we'll wait it out for a moment. Reminder that you can visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. And there you'll find all of our agricultural programming that comes to you each and every day from the pre-opening or the opening market report, the midday, and the midday report at noon as well. And we post Commodity Week there on the weekends. It's a good way to listen to our programs if you can't get to us on a radio, or if you can't dial in at this number, 217-333-3434 at about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day of the year. Let's check one more time to see if Pete's around. Pete Manhart, are you with me yet this afternoon? Oh, don't worry about Pete. We'll get back to him just a bit later. We'll take a little diversion, and we'll see what's up in the newscast in just a moment. Our director of ag programming, Dave Dickey, will be here to look at that. And a couple of other websites that I want to remind you to take a look at, especially during the growing season. You might want to look at the bulletin, which is produced by the crop scientist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. That's bulletin.ipm.illinois.edu, or the FarmDoc website, farmdocdaily.illinois.edu, which is produced by the Ag Economist. Both great websites, both available to you. Just search for the Bulletin or for FarmDoc in Google or Yahoo or whatever search engine you use, and you should find them. Now here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, in response to the challenges posed by climate change, USDA has unveiled an initiative to create regional hubs that would help with extension research and local programs for producers. USDA's announcement was highlighted in a speech by USDA Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack at the National Press Club. Vilsack says climate change is a new and different threat to American farm productivity. A USDA report earlier this year stressed that higher carbon dioxide levels will increase temperatures and dramatically change precipitation patterns across the country. USDA is creating seven new regional climate hubs that will combine work at USDA and land-grant universities to provide farmers with tools for best management practices and risk mitigation. Meanwhile, the International Energy Agency today says that the world's energy-related carbon dioxide emissions rose 1.4% in 2012 to a record high of 31.6 gigatons, even as the U.S. posted its lowest emissions since the mid-1990s. The IEA says China saw the largest emissions growth last year, but the increase was among the lowest seen in a decade amid investments in renewable energy and energy efficiency. The IEA says the energy sector accounts for about two-thirds of global emissions of CO2 and other greenhouse gases, which scientists say are fueling climate change. Global climate talks are aimed at keeping the temperature rise below 2 degrees Celsius compared to pre-industrial levels. Hong Kong exchanges and clearings plan to co-list commodity contracts on mainland Chinese exchanges has fired the starting gun in a battle for a significant share of China's infant commodities futures market. China is the second largest consumer of oil in the world, the largest consumer of base metals, and a big importer of grains, but has never been a major player on the world's commodities futures stage. Local regulation preventing foreign investors from accessing Chinese exchanges, a low local appetite for hedging, and the historic centers for physical commodity trading being in the U.S. and Europe have until now been a deterrent, but HEX's plan to list futures on China's exchanges is designed to create a new pool of liquidity. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week. Now, up next, you know, corn planted and up in the Midwest is in pretty good shape. We'll find out more about that a bit later this afternoon. Under normal growing conditions, it should produce a good yield. Still, there are many acres left unplanted and many that need to be replanted. Last week, I spoke with University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good on this question of acreage, yield, and consumption.
I think the consensus is that planted acres of corn might fall 3 to 4 million acres short of intentions of 97.3 million. And that's probably a reasonable thought at this point.
Reasonable, yes, for the number of acres. But really the question is, can those acres produce enough corn to meet USDA's projected consumption?
And, you know, rough numbers would say, if you believe USDA's kind of generous forecast, anything above 150 bushel corn would be an ample supply if we lose 4 million acres. I think at this juncture we have prospects for yield at least at that level, and probably considerably higher.
Here's how Darrell Good works those numbers out.
Under the scenario that we have 155 bushel corn or better on 86, 87 million harvested, I would say December corn is a little on the high side, maybe not by a lot, but I'm not sure we would need cash prices above $5 under that scenario, and right now we're slightly above that. So I think it would give us some downside if that kind of crop materializes, but I wouldn't look for an extreme decline from the levels that we're at right now.
Well, the next planted acreage benchmark will come at the end of June. It is when USDA will release an official figure. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
The Closing Mark Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. It is the 10th day of June. On the phone line now with us is Pete Manhart. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Pete, thank you for taking the time with us this afternoon. Why don't you go through all of the red that was on the screen and what that means to your broker and farmers today?
Well, we tried to be a little higher early last night, but then we were sharply higher this morning, came back halfway off those lows, and then went back towards them in corn and beans at the end. July corn had a low at 48.5, a high at 64.5, closed at 650, down 16.25. December had a 54.25 high and a 40.25 low, closed at 46, down 12.5. The July wheat closed only 6 off its high, down 6.5. August beans were down 20.5 at 14.35.75, 5.75 off their low. That was 19 off their high. And the Novembers, after being clear down to 13.07.5, came back and were around the 20 area, closed at 13.19, down 11.25, but that was still 10.75 off their high. So a big move down on better than expected weather over the weekend, and lots of soybean plantings expected. Also better weather coming. Rain's not coming until maybe Wednesday or Thursday this week, and lots of planting activity going on. Also worries about the Chinese economy getting lower, and they are our main buyer of soybeans. Worries about the corn export numbers, which are, 40% of a year ago, and thus the world production, which is supposed to be record this year, being used instead of ours.
Yeah, so when you look at the corn market, which appears at least at the end of the day, if that was the case, led this market to its lowest points with the July down, as you said, 16 and a quarter, December down 12 and a half cents. Was there anything really beyond the move? Because last week we were thinking, hey, look, technically we have some really good things that happened in the May month of May with some outside months posted, but then we had some days last week that weren't great.
Yeah, I mean, we made the highs on Monday of last week, made the lows 2 days later, 55 lower on beans and about 35 lower on corn. But then at the end of the week, we came back and we only missed the high on Friday by 7 cents. And on the corn, we were probably 13 lower than the high that we made just last week. So that we need to get through that 75 area on December corn or we can't get anywhere. Be just profit taking. And in beans, the 1330 to 40 area, we hit 40 last Monday. We closed at 30 last Friday, or somewhere around there. And maybe it was the 40 that we closed at, which was really nice. But today, back at the 1330 area at one time and then closed down 19, or down at 1319. So just can't get anywhere right now. Part of that's usage. Part of it's South American production coming all over the world. Part of it's the realization that the world is using other people's grain more because the rest of the world is producing more grain due to the high prices.
Anything producers ought to be doing at this time with marketing, you think?
We would be protecting the downside with either puts or put spreads, looking at protecting the downside and leaving the top open. If you hadn't sold anything cash-wise, we would have, when we got back to that 570, put some new cash on. Cash in places was pretty good, 520 to 530 last week in places when we were on the highs on corn. And on beans, we were still above 13 at times last week when we got to 1340. They are paying... it's not as bad a basis for the fall because some elevators are trying to make sure they have enough to start the fall with.
Yeah, so elevators are trying to fill back their bins because of the drought of last year. But they tell us and have for, well, several months that producers simply haven't been selling. And I suppose that goes back to the last several years when the best sales have come across the scale as opposed to earlier in the season.
Yeah, we've had short crops here, and as a result of that, the last couple of years, if you did nothing, you might have been better off. I know people that sold right out of the field at $8 cash last fall. They didn't have much to sell, but a half a crop at $8 was worth a full crop at $4. And so that's gotten in the people's minds that we're going to have those again. And right now, with the world excess getting larger, we're tight supplied here, but the world isn't, and that's the difference between the last couple of years.
Let's turn your attention to the old crop for both corn and soybeans. Livestock producers, end users in particular, do these areas represent places, at least in the short term, that they might consider making some purchases?
You're talking about livestock now, and hogs have been on fire here, especially today. They were up the three limit on old crop, and it's a worry on both corn and on cattle and hogs, right, that the numbers are at low ends and where are we going to get the supply. But then you look at the high price of grains, and that's why we don't have the bigger supply. So these prices that we've got right now in the nearby, yes, I'd be looking at it. I'd be still looking for December hogs to get up another $2 to $3 just because of the numbers and the PED disease that's out there that people aren't aware of how bad it can be.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you.
Pete Manhart is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on this Monday afternoon.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Let's now check the cash grain market. On the phone line from the Andersons right here in Champaign County is Amy Sage. Good afternoon to you, Amy.
Hello, Todd.
Have producers been making any phone calls to you today about getting positions on for new crop sales?
No, actually, today's been very quiet on the purchasing side here. Last week, we saw a little bit of movement in old and new crop corn from the farmer side, but nothing too extreme, and today has been very low volume purchase-wise.
Yeah,
so
that would be pretty normal when we have a down
That's
day.
That's right.
But for last week, they made some, but you're still running behind, I suspect.
Absolutely, yep. And just like you were talking about, we haven't seen a lot of forward sales going into this year for a couple different reasons. You know, 3 years in a row, that's obviously been the right thing to do, having prices escalate throughout the summer months and then into fall. And then with the delays in planting, people have been a little bit more hesitant to sell and looking at being in probably one of the more fortunate areas this year and wondering what everybody else is looking outside their back doors in other areas. So.
Can we talk about old crop just a bit? Because USDA, of course, this week will update its WASDE figures. And at this point, the last time around, they really have said, we think there is more grain on hand than many had suspected as we began the marketing year. Is that truly the case? Will there be a point at which we get to the end of this season and we're really hunting down corn, maybe even more so soybeans, and that the numbers, while they may show a larger ending stocks figure for both of those, that they may not actually be in the fields and in the bins?
I guess that has a tendency to be my lean here, and especially in this area, just not a lot got put on the farm, and a lot of commercial grain got moved this fall, and looking at half a crop, I just don't think there's going to be a ton out there. Most commercial facilities that you see are looking into going to next year empty, and then from a processor standpoint, anybody that has physical grain has been reaping the benefits of knowing that we're going to probably be short going forward and into the summer months. It's been kind of hand-to-mouth. We've seen people get covered for April, May. Now it looks like we're starting to get more covered for June and being a little bit more patient till July. But I do think there comes that point, maybe mid-July, August, where we start to see running out and some higher numbers paid. So.
Pete suggested that basis at least for the new crop in the earliest harvest, and I don't know what that'll be exactly, have been pretty strong. Is that reflected in your basis bids in any way?
Yes, fall basis has continued to improve, and I guess I look for it to be stable here or continue to firm up, especially for early stuff, because I don't know how much of that's going to be out there. We saw the crop get planted basically in the same 4 to 6 days across the Midwest, so if there's anything early out there, especially coming in tight from this old crop, we're probably going to see some strength in those levels.
And what are your bids for the day?
You bet. Cash corn today, $6.91. Fall, $5.33 across the scale. January corn, $5.43. And fall 2014 at $5.29.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Joins us to talk about the cash grain market on this Monday afternoon.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, in just a couple of minutes, I'll return. We'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. The folks at Chesapeake Energy, high above the loop in downtown Chicago, looking down from the 23rd floor of the Boeing building, will be here on the Closing Market Report.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
It's National Black Cow Day. Credit for the treat often goes to Frank Wisner of Cripple Creek, Colorado, who in 1893 was inspired to float a scoop of vanilla ice cream on top of his glass of root beer after glimpsing the illumination of snow on top of Cow Mountain outside his home. By the way, the drink is also known as a brown cow. On this day in agricultural history in 1869, frozen food was shipped long distance for the first time. Frozen Texas beef was shipped by steamship to New Orleans, frozen by refrigeration equipment invented by John Gorey. The meat was eventually served in hospitals, hotels, and restaurants. Success in the frozen beef market prompted food manufacturers to develop freezing methods of other types, culminating in Clarence Birdseye's flash freezing system that ultimately hit grocery cases in 1934. In 1952, Mylar was registered as a DuPont trademark. Mylar is a very strong polyester film that has gradually replaced cellophane. DuPont touted the polyester film's strength, heat resistance, and insulating properties. It is used as a food wrap in addition to many other non-food uses. And in 1985, in the most embarrassing moment category, Coca-Cola officials announced it was bringing back the old Formula Coke to replace the new Coke nobody wanted. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. Mark Russo from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's talk about the agricultural weather forecast. Producers have been able to move just a bit over the past couple of weeks, and I think the rainfall, past couple of days, that is, the rainfall that they were supposed to get over the weekend may or may not have come in as large amounts, but maybe you can tell me a bit more about that and what the week ahead looks like, please.
Yeah, exactly. With the areas that did get significant rains here over the week, and by and large, most of central and northern Illinois, we did have some swaths of higher totals in excess of half an inch, even upwards to an inch in areas of far southern Illinois and into central northern Indiana. But all in all, it was a pretty quiet weekend here and a pretty nice weekend here weather-wise across the state of Illinois. There's also rains further out west in the Corn Belt, and that's the one area of concern in the areas of Iowa and Minnesota. That's been the wettest here this spring and has had the fewest number of open days, and there was rain activity there, especially in the western parts of Iowa and southern Minnesota.
And as you look forward, what do you see?
Well, we do see temperatures now beginning to warm up across the Midwest, and a lot of that is due to this ridge of high pressure that will be now moving from the Rockies out into the plains and will be oscillating basically between the Four Corners region and the lower Mississippi River Valley, i.e. the Delta region, over the next couple of weeks. With that ridge in that location here, kind of centered over Oklahoma, if you would, that's going to place the Midwest and Northern Plains in an active zone, and we do see periodic thunderstorm activity firing up across the zone here in the Midwest, and so we see this generally active pattern continuing over the next couple of weeks with even the risk of heavier rainfall totals appearing here in portions of the Midwest.
And if you look to other parts of the world, China in particular, how is their crop faring as it makes its way into the summer months?
Yeah, they're starting in good shape across China, both in the North China Plain summer crop acreage as well as Manchuria ag acreage. Their soil moisture conditions are adequate following near normal rainfall in recent weeks. And we see additional rain on tap here over the next couple of weeks in that area. So they're starting off the season without any significant issues in China.
Thank you so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a really good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net. Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.